So, we're in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and it's been just fantastic going through that. So thanks Sam and Mike and doing all those wonderful lessons. I've called this Macedonian Generosity or a Wealth of Generosity. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So just thinking about the background, it is a relief contribution. It's not a hope day of giving, just to qualify that. It was for Christians in Judea, which included the Jerusalem church. I think another good, in terms of just thinking about the response of the church and that generosity, in Exodus 35, Moses, when he's setting up, he's commanded to set up the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, where effectively it was God's presence. And just the response of the Israelites just to give everything, their possessions, their jewelry, just everything, the best of everything they had, their skills, to the point where actually you've got to stop, it's too much. But again, it's that heart of generosity. The famine that hit the Roman world was predicted by Agabus. There were a number of famines. We don't know, maybe it wasn't specifically that one, but it was predicted. And Paul saw it as an opportunity to actually strengthen the churches, and specifically the relationship between the Gentiles and the Jews. And he talks about the plan in Romans 15. So let's just start with that, at verse 25, 15, 25 to 27. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. And so again, the idea that the church in Jerusalem had given so much, they'd poured out themselves spiritually to help the Gentiles, and now in a time of famine, there were needs in the Jerusalem church around Judea, and it was an opportunity for maybe the more wealthy or less famined disciples in other churches to actually contribute and fill that need. I'm hopeless at geography, so I had to look up where these places were. And so you've got Jerusalem at the very bottom there, and you've got Macedonia up the top there, and Macedonia, Achaia, and you've got effectively it's kind of northern Greece, southern Greece, so the two places we're looking at. Okay, so famine, again, they've had one recently in Papua New Guinea, and they will actually have more. And look, we just know with the global warming that that's going to be something. And so it's good for us to be prepared, because we know that there will be another request. We don't know when, but it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It was in the period of Claudius that time, sort of 41 to 54 AD, and there was a number of famines during his reign. Okay, so let's get into the text, 1 Corinthians 8. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in his ministry, in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, the one who had little did not have too little. Okay, first, theme that I want to focus on is generosity. And in chapter 9, I guess the other theme is a bit more around generosity is a gift. So I'm going to focus on those two things. So generosity is a test, and I know there's been some people having nap plan this week, and as head down, and it's caused maybe some people stress, anxiety. And sometimes I think we can view generosity like, oh great, another contribution, another collection, and we put our head down and maybe see it in that way. And I really appreciate the Macedonian situation. And if you think about, was their situation a recipe for joy and generosity? Did they have an abundance of everything? Was life really going well for them? Well, the text says they had severe affliction, extreme poverty, and yet either they actually approached Paul and they were begging to actually contribute and support the churches in Judea. And what an amazing heart. And that's definitely not my heart. My heart is often, oh, it's just too much, I can't. Even for me, if I'm busy at work, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, the last thing I want to do is give and actually even offer to do something extra. It's like, stay away from the people that actually may ask something of me. Make myself oblivious to them. And that, it's actually personally encouraging, because it means that, wow, they must have got it from somewhere else, and it had to be from God. In extreme poverty, severe affliction, what were their response? It was abundant joy, abundant generosity, overflowing joy, abundant generosity. So I guess this spiritual mindset is what we need to have. And I think Romans 12:2 mentions it really well. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. And I think that's what the Macedonians did. They actually decided to give themselves fully to God, and as a result they were able to overflow. Now equally, the Corinthians did the same thing, where they responded to a request, and they actually decided to give as well. And Paul wanted to make sure now that they actually complete that task. I think it is a test to excel. And they had the Corinthian church had a great start, and it says, a year ago you started well, but now I want to make sure that you actually complete it. And so I am actually sending Titus just to make sure. I'll talk about a bit, but again, you think, well, hang on, shouldn't you just trust people? It's not about how much you give. And I think the other thing about the Macedonian example was that if you think about churches, probably the Corinthian church, it sounds like they may have been able to give more, and the Macedonians were probably a poorer church, and yet they were more generous. And it's funny, when I've seen poor situations, people seem to be more generous and also more joyful. That seems to be a connection. And whereas when we're more wealthy, we tend to be less generous and a bit more depressed. But it's not, in God's eyes, it's actually the Macedonians, that was the example. So it's actually not about how much you give, it's actually about your attitude. And then it all points to Jesus. Look, Jesus was rich, he came from heaven, he had everything, and yet he made himself poor for us, so that we could become rich. And you think, wow, that is an upward call. And I think generosity is something we actually have, it's a spiritual call. We have to continue to excel, and it's a test for us to grow in our generosity. It's also nice that there is a bit of help with the test. It's okay, look, what is the goal? It's not that you're suddenly, you just give everything and you're hard pressed and you have nothing and, you're starving, your kids are starving and you... It's not. It's actually, look, the clarity is that your abundance will meet their need. And it's not about you then being pressured and having nothing. It is about equality. It's not force. It's not communism. We don't have all the same standard. It's about famine. It's about basic needs. It's about, you know, look, people were starving. They needed food. They needed help. They needed this material aid. I think the other test, it was a test of their love. It was, verse 8, the sincerity of your love. At the end of the day, if you don't give, it really does reflect on your heart. And it's interesting how Paul uses these comparisons, because he starts off saying, you know, the Macedonians, they're a great example. And he was kind of boasting about them to motivate the Corinthians. But then also, it's interesting, when we look at chapter 9, he does the reverse. You know, he says to the Macedonians, you know, the Corinthians, they're so generous, and now he's boasting the other way around. And it's actually okay to boast about each other. But it's not, again, it's not really about me or you or anyone else in terms of, it's actually about God. It's the Christ-like quality, because who does it all reflect? It reflects Jesus Christ. It's a test of our love for the kingdom. Do we have our priorities? It's amazing how many excuses we can give for putting the kingdom down as a low priority, as opposed to other things. And that, and again, it's about a spiritual mindset. You know, Romans 12 talks about love, the quality of love. Love is being willing to share, to let go, and actually give to somebody else. It's a test of faith. I don't often give because I think, oh, there's not enough for me. And this is why we'll share a little family thing. I got some Afghan bread, and one of our family members really likes this Afghan bread. But I didn't, I only had enough money for one. And so there was this one bit of Afghan kind of naan bread. And then it was one of the other family members, the youngest one, wanted a bit of this Afghan bread. And it was really hard for another of the family members to share that. And she did, you know, she said it, which is really good. Now, it was only a tiny little corner from the top, and she never... And actually, it's funny enough, because Caelan was fine about what Aisha gave him. But it made me think about generosity, because actually that was the sacrifice for Aisha. But when I looked at it as a bystander, I thought, wow, that wasn't very generous. But I think it is the perspective, if we really believe that there's going to be more coming, we're like, oh, that's fine, you just have it. We don't... And there's a quote there at the end of the chapter, from Exodus 16, about manna. You know, that as they collected, some collected a lot, but they didn't have too much. Others collected a little. And it gave this idea that, yeah, people did collect, but then they weighed it out per person, and then actually distributed it. So it was even. So they actually shared. And so I think we've got to have that mindset as well about what we get. There are actually other people who don't get as much as us. But what we can do is just forget them from our mindset, and then we actually just keep it for ourselves. And that's not right. And even as you read the Exodus passage, some of the Israelites did that. So they collect the manna. So it's food from, it's this sort of flakes that appeared in the morning on the desert. And that's the closest I could find to it. It's actually a picture of snow on the ground. But imagine picking that up and then taking it back to your place and then storing it. And what happened in the morning if you stored it? Maggots. Stunk. And I think that's a good message for us. That's what happens to us if we hold on to our wealth. It actually ruins us, and it stinks. Before God, it stinks. You know, God provides for us. Matthew 6 also talks about that. And it's interesting that Matthew chapter 6 starts off with, actually, we've got to help the poor. And then it goes on to the passage that we all know and love about, don't worry. And what is it that we worry about? It's those material things. It's, you know, food, clothing, drink, you know, those things. And God says, actually, I will provide for you in these areas. You don't need to worry. So be generous. And it is a test of our faith. Sincerity, sorry, that little equal signs should have a strike through it, does not equal generosity. Because, you know, I can be really sincere, but I am so disorganized that then I just won't be prepared and won't be planned. You know, and equal, I says, yeah, I'll get this, and I'll spend all my money, you know. And so I think, again, it is about just planning, being organized, and that's really what the churches were about, and that's what Paul encouraged. So think about it as a year. They started year, and then they actually collected regularly. They stored up the funds, and then they organized people to come and collect it. And so a number of brothers, and so it was well planned and organized. And yeah, absolutely, Paul trusted their sincerity, but he knew he wasn't going to leave it to chance. And then suddenly he's made all this boasting to one church, and then he turns up and is not ready. And then, oh, I'm really sorry, guys. And I think we've got to be careful to manage our finances well, be organized, be planned, and also with preaching the gospel. If we're not ready, then those opportunities can miss us, can pass us by. And I know Mike Vassala has this statement he's used a few times: if you fail to plan, is that right? Fail to plan? Yeah, you fail to plan if you plan. No. Fail to plan. I'll just read it. Fail to plan. Plan to fail. Okay. All right, now let's carry on. Okay, we've got to go quickly now. I won't read all of this, but I'll just read the bit about sowing. Okay, remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Okay. Second thing, generosity is a gift. So although it does test us and we can grow through it, it is actually a blessing. It's an amazing gift. And just at the end of that verse, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And what an incredible thing that we get to be generous. We get to give to other people, and ultimately we get to give them the words of life. And what does God do? He just keeps pouring it in, so that we can keep giving. And the problem happens is when we stop giving, and God can't keep pouring it in because there's no way for it to go out. And it just makes us fat and stinky and horrible. And so I think we've got to see generosity is actually, it's actually to help us.
Come on, brother.
I was at Monash Medical Center this week, and there's a little quote on the wall: the happiest people are not those getting more, but those giving more. Okay, there's the law of sowing and reaping, verse 6. So God's generosity contract, and he says, okay, our part is, I just want you to give. I want you to be generous. Sometimes our concept of generosity, and that's why I think it's good to have other examples. So think about what others are doing in terms of people who are more generous than us, because it can be, sometimes we can think we're being generous, actually we're not. Or we can feel sacrificial, but because we're so ungenerous, actually it's not really sacrificial. But also there's some people who are really generous and actually sacrificial, but for them it's not even sacrifice because they're just generous.
Yeah.
So anyway, just think about Jesus and make sure that we're genuinely being sacrificial.
Yeah, come on.
I love Proverbs 3:9, you know, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, and then everything will be overflowing. Proverbs 11, a generous person prospers. Not so with the wicked. And Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than receive. And they're the words of Jesus. There are benefits. And again, that's not why we should, okay, I'm going to give because then I'm going to get back. And it's not also one of these exact rules. It's like, hang on a minute, I just gave that away. Where is it now? Where's my blessing? You know, the truth is kind of a general thing. It's a general principle. I think we've got to be careful not to sort of make bargains with God. But decide, no, I'm just going to give because it's the right thing to do. But look, it met a need, and it really encourage the church. And towards the end of the chapter, just there's so much praise going out from the church because of that sacrifice, the giving from the other churches. It leads to a prosperous and righteous lifestyle. And now I will just read Psalm 112 because it's such a picture of the kingdom. And I know for me, my first, I guess, experience of poverty was going to India as a 19-year-old. And as I was in this little rickshaw going to Mark Templer's house and getting lost and spending about an hour and a half trying to find this house, because in India they don't have any street directions or numbers properly. And I remember just being in tears because I saw on one side all these slums, on the other side there's just wealth and prosperity. And I saw people who are so wealthy just walking and just passing these people who are just in abject poverty. And I just, my heart just, I thought, how could this be? How could people just walk past and not care? I mean, it really just, it angered me, and it was just too, it was overwhelming. I hadn't seen that before. And I think for us, it's the kingdom is not like that. You know, the kingdom is where everybody gets their needs met. In fact, to the point where it overflows to people around us. And the kingdom is an attractive place. And we've got to be careful not to have the attitude of the world, which is actually to hold on, to live in fear, to not give. Yeah. It does glorify God. And I think that's really what our giving should always be about. It's disconnected because I'm a disciple, God loves me, God provides for me, Jesus forgave me, therefore I'm going to give. And also we should let people know that I do this because I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And it brings glory to God. In Psalm 112, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. And again, picture, this is our lifestyle, this is the kingdom of God. His children will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his home, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. And you can read the rest yourselves. It is a witness to others. You know, 1 Peter 2 talks about, you know, even though people criticize, malign the word, when they see our good behavior, they praise God. You know, the fellowship of believers, there was no needy people among them. And people respected and honored God's word because of that, because of what they saw in the family of believers. Godly women impact unbelieving husbands by their spiritual nature. Finish off, I was over at Monash Uni, did a little lesson about refugee health, and one of my refugee patients, who he said it was all right to mention him but not by name, is here, and he got his permanent residency last week, so it's very, very exciting. But even for him, like the last 3 years he's not been able to work and has had a number of health issues, and he really feels like God has just looked after him, God has provided for him, and he is so, so grateful. And you know, I know one thing for him is also just being a part of a community and building relationships is also encouraging. And this is a group who had a very close-knit community. They were a group of migrants from Italy, and they moved to America. And basically, doctors from the neighboring suburbs, this was in Pennsylvania in America, they were amazed at how this group they just grew old and they died of old age, whereas they weren't getting heart disease and they weren't ill. And what was remarkable, they did all these tests, is it a diet, is it this, is it that, and they couldn't find anything. You guys are just eating the unhealthy American stuff and you're still doing okay, so can't be that. But I'm not saying that you should eat unhealthy, by the way, but what was interesting was that they could only do it by sending some people in to actually look at their lifestyle. And it was all about community. It started off with a priest saying, okay, guys, we've got to start somewhere, so we've got some seeds and some plants, and just gave it out to everyone, and they all started to work together and build a community. They shared, they gave to each other. There was a real family structure. There was a real spiritual foundation. They gave to each other. People would stop on the road. They'd live near each other. There'd be generations in the same household. Seniors were respected. People were served. You know, men led the families. Marriages stayed together. People just, for some reason, didn't get unwell. And why was that? Because I believe they had a spirit of generosity. And so that's what my encouragement to you today is, really decide to be generous. And the heart of it is Proverbs 3:9. It's, you know, honor God. It's about honoring God with our wealth. And then guess what God does with us? He blesses our lives. Thanks for listening.